Josh, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today, Andy?
Can't complain, man. Obviously, we're doing better than most. And unfortunately, here in Arizona, we're having issues with the COVID-19 because of people choosing to do what they want to do, even though they're being advised not to do it, I guess. And that's the nice way to say it, right?
Yeah, that's probably the most polite way you can put it.
It's so, the most radio friendly.
So, Josh, let's do it this way. Before we get into what you do with the Tempe Coalition, you got to tell us a little bit about who you like in the sports world. Who are your teams, man?
Okay, I got very little to give on this subject because I'm not a huge sports fan. I grew up, I love to play sports, but I don't follow a lot of professional sports.
All right, what do you play? What do you like to play?
Anything. I like to get out and anything. Shoot the basketball, throw the baseball, water ski, snow ski, anything.
Underwater basket weaving. Yeah, anything.
Sure, I could go for that.
So
9-year-old's a lacrosse player, so I do follow the PLL a little bit. It's lacrosse.
See, now you just exposed us, okay, Josh? You just found our weakness.
Yeah, professional lacrosse is not our thing.
No, you just exposed us for who we really are. We know nothing about lacrosse other than that they run up and down that thing, they throw that little thing in the nets, right? And yeah. They get good exercise probably, right?
I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. And it's pretty high contact. It's a lot of fun, a lot of skill, but we follow the Premier Lacrosse League a little bit. My son's a Paul Rabel nutcase, so he watches all his videos. And so that's the only stuff we watch on TV, and we're big Atlas fans.
Very good. Very good. Well, I like it, man. I like your spin. But no football team? You got to have a football team. Everybody watches football.
I know very little about football, but I go for the home team wherever I live. When I lived in California, I went for the home team. Here, I'll go for the home team. It's good for your town for the home team to win, right?
I agree with that. So when you were in California, where were you in California?
I grew up in Union City, so the closest team when I was a kid were the two teams, the Raiders and 49ers. So the 49ers were winning a lot at the time, so it was easier to be a 49er.
Much easier than being a Raiders fan, yes.
So I'm guessing that was kind of like maybe Steve Young, Montana days, maybe?
Yes. Yep, Montana days.
Very good. Hey, you know what? That was a good time to be a 49er fan, actually.
The best time to be.
Yeah, no, that was a good time. All right, so Tempe Coalition, you can find them on the internet. It's tempecoalition.org. You can call them 480-858-2300. Tell us a little bit about what you do with the coalition yourself. And I know you're the committee vice chair for Pathway Program. So tell us about Pathway Program.
So that's our role. I operate the Pathway Program, which is a counseling program for substance abuse for teens and young adults, and we do a lot of family work. And our role in the coalition is that, as a youth-serving healthcare agency, is we bring the perspective of substance abuse counseling, kind of anything from what teenagers are getting into substance-wise currently, what we can do about it. And the coalition is is very focused on prevention. So a lot of times we can see some of what's slipping through the cracks and what the trends are in substance use, and we can help bring that to the coalition. But we also, we do a lot of the speaking with the coalition also in the high schools. And we'll go out and we'll touch base with businesses, anybody that we want to educate about teen substance use, prevention, intervention, counseling. That's really our role there.
Josh, this is Mike Wilson. And, you know, one of the things I got a question about, I got a 15-year-old son and I got a 20-year-old daughter. You know, you do work with the high schools. What's the biggest substance problem in high school? I mean, no, I know there's a ton, but what's the one that,
is there
just,
one that,
yeah,
that
sticks out?
Just
yeah.
Graduating high school, I feel like I know the answer to this, but go ahead, Josh.
Well, I can tell you the one that I think is the worst because it's what we see the most, and it's the most accessible currently in the way our society is, which is it's marijuana, but it's the kind you can vape.
Well, okay.
Oh, so concentrate is what you're saying.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a weed expert, but
yep.
So okay, got it. And you know what? I was sitting here like trying to guess what you were gonna say, and I was thinking like the vape thing, but I didn't know if it was marijuana or
vaping,
the cigarette thing.
Nicotine is what I would have guessed. Yeah. I imagine you probably get a lot of cases like that as well, because the Juul, the whole disposable nicotine devices, that's a huge thing right now, especially among kids my age.
Yep, absolutely. And we get, what I end up hearing the most about is the marijuana. That's usually when it gets kicked up to our level at Pathway, when the schools, you know, want us to come in and talk about it, is when they catch somebody with something that's going to be a major suspension. And they're going to be in a lot of trouble. They'll have us come in and talk to the kids or something. And that's also based on my admits at our counseling programs. We have more teenagers that are admit due to their substance use with marijuana than anything else by far. Alcohol is tougher to access. Pharmaceuticals would be second. And it's a wide range of those. It could be anything from Adderall to Xanax to a pain pill.
Very interesting. That's the voice of Josh Azevedo, sorry about that, committee vice chair from Pathway Program for the Tempe Coalition. So who are these services for? Is it kids, adults, anybody?
Well, our services are for teens and young adults. We go up to about age 27, but that's what we do, because it's so different than counseling or treating an adult. Because with teens, they're not coming to us a lot of times with full-fledged addictions. You know, they're getting into substance use, and they need a redirect. They need something else, a way to find to fill their teenage needs for fun, for excitement, for social, in a way that's not going to have the same cost as drugs and alcohol, because those things are going to potentially create addictions, poor family relationships, loss of life and future and all these things. So the interventions that we build are really built around finding something positive to do, and finding a positive peer group and really pulling together as a family. So we do counsel the whole family, but it's really built for youth. It's we want to give a kid that comes in that's gotten in some trouble using drugs at school, go, do you want some other ways to have fun, engage in your life, and build a good life? Because they're not very pain motivated. They're not hitting rock bottom out there like that traditional addict. Kind of when people talk about addictions, they think, well, people sober up when they hit rock bottom. There's not a lot of 16 and 17-year-olds that are going to hit rock bottom. And so when you're intervening early, you need the services to be something that they can be excited about and give them something to look forward to.
What are some of the fun activities that you provide for them?
Oh, we do all kinds of stuff. We do anything from, we recently rented out, you know, KTR, which is the indoor trampoline skate park privately. We'll do a big bonfire and dance with the generator out at
nice.
One of the state parks. We do one of the things that we do is we'll break them up, and we'll get 6-8 truckloads of cardboard, and we'll break up into teams, and we'll build, you know, teams of 5-6 people, and you build 10-15 forts out of cardboard, and then you get kickballs, and the last fort standing wins. We do something fun every Friday and Saturday night.
I like it a lot. So do you provide inpatient, outpatient, both?
We're primarily an outpatient program. We do work really closely with the residential that can provide some residential services. But primarily at this age group, it's the intensive outpatient. They come daily in the afternoons, and then we do the social activities on the weekends and peer support groups in the evenings. And we have some family support groups for their parents also.
So, Josh, when you bring these young kids in, and try and get them down the right path, what's the biggest, if you get pushback, what's the biggest pushback you get from these kids?
Honestly, it's that they're still having a lot of fun using a lot of times, because they've been caught a couple of times, but they're going, you know, I'm still having fun and I don't think it's going to get worse, which is the natural state of a teenage brain. They're not able to, the prefrontal cortex is not developed yet, and they can't see the consequences a year, 2 years, 5 years down the road. A lot of times they'll say, well, I'm having a good time, and getting busted once or twice doesn't seem like the end of the world to me. So it's helping them to try to see that writing on the wall and to go, well, this best you can, help them to see the potential consequences, but also going, are you open to trying something different, to stopping for a while and seeing if you could have fun in some other ways?
Josh, I got a message from somebody that's listening to us right now, and they ask a couple of really good questions that I'm missing. We're missing. So thank you, Katie. We do appreciate you throwing this our way. What So the name is called it's Pathway, correct?
Yeah.
That's the name of it. So they're asking about cost, and they're also, is it, you know, free rehabilitation, or does it cost money?
It depends on if you have insurance. So it costs money if you don't have insurance, and if you have insurance and we contract with your provider, then your insurance will usually at least help you. We do also have occasional access to if somebody doesn't have insurance and they cannot afford the program. We don't have an unlimited amount of access to this, but we do have some access to scholarships at times where we can help people get in the door. We really don't want that to ever be a deterrent to somebody getting help. And one of the things that we do for a lot of the school districts to go along with that is we will do an evaluation for a family of a teenager at no cost at any given point in time. And even if they don't have if we're not the best fit or we can't help the problem, we know who can. And that's part of how we've really built our reputation is we will help a family find their way to help, and we'll help a teenager find their way to help, and we don't charge for that at all.
You know, Josh, you get that pushback from the kids initially, like we were just talking about, or you just talking about. What about the parents? I mean, is there any, you know, I would imagine the parents are pretty supportive of this because they're trying to get their kid turned around, or have you had those instances where, you know, the parents just aren't that involved?
Yeah, what we do run into that because you get a couple of things with parents. One of the things you get sometimes is just kind of denial. They think, well, they're just going to grow out of it on their own because maybe they got in a little trouble as teens and they did grow out of it.
Right.
So sometimes you get parents that feel that way. But what you more get is the pushback you get from parents a lot of times is they're afraid when they call us a lot or they come in for an evaluation that they're going to find out that they have failed their child in some way as a parent.
Right.
And they don't want to be told that. And what's one of the first things that we want to let them know is, you know, a kid getting in some trouble or losing their way is not the fault of a parent almost every time. And I guess I've met a few parents that started their kids on drugs, but that's less than I can count on one hand.
Right.
Most of the time, these parents are doing the best with what they have. They love their kids. And when their kids get in trouble, they keep thinking, well, shouldn't I have been able to talk them out of it or fix this or get them not to? And so a lot of times they're dealing with a lot of they feel guilty and ashamed, and they really shouldn't. And that's one of the things we really want to let parents know. This is not something you did wrong. This is partially the way that society is today. Kids feel a ton of pressure that using drugs and alcohol is a normal part of the rite of passage of growing up. Their parents didn't tell them that.
Yeah, well, that is a good point. Yeah. But actually, I have a question for you because I think this is probably a big, not argument, but it's certainly a big topic of discussion when talking about like rehabilitation with drugs. How much, when you see kids come in, how much of it do you think has to do with mental health or family situations or like getting bullied at school or something like that? Because I mean, personally, I know a lot of, well, maybe it, and again, it could be just an excuse to just smoke weed all day. But again, a lot of the people that I talk to, the reason why they do it is because they can't feel serenity with themselves. So how much do you think that has to do with it?
Good point.
It's a huge mix with what we see because we get everything from star quarterbacks to kids that have been bullied.
Really?
I mean, you name it. So we definitely deal with some kids that have dealt with some mental health, and we deal with some kids that just was as simply as I got offered at a party, I did it, I really liked it, and I've gone back to it over and over again. And that also can affect how easy it is for them to recover. For some kids, stopping and recovering is really difficult. They got a lot of issues. And for some kids, it really is, they just need a redirect.
I agree. That's the voice of Josh Azevedo, Committee Vice Chair for Pathway Program. You can find him on tempecoalition.org. Call them 480-858-2300. You know, you brought up so many interesting things to me. And I think about my path and how I was able to stay away from going down a dark road and getting into drugs as a kid. I played sports. I mean, like that's what I did to stay away from trouble. And everybody that I was out there on the fields with or the courts, whatever it was, they were into the same type of thing that I was. So I think that my question is how much do you think it has to do with the people that you hang out with, you know, the choices that you make, you know, the path that you wind up going down? Do you think that that's a big part of it as well?
Huge. I think it is critical how teenagers choose their friends and the kind of peer pressure they deal with, because we know from data that that is still one of the main ways that kids start using is simple peer pressure. And we also know that the old don't do drugs mentality has not been very effective.
I agree.
What does deter drug use is being involved in something positive. So if you love your sport, or you love to weld, or you love to cook, and you're involved with other people that love that, and you're focused on it, and you have some passion, you're less likely to get in trouble. It doesn't mean that the kids that do that never get in trouble, but you're less likely to, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, it's like we have choices to make in everything that we do, and I always found that sports kind of kept me disciplined, number one. Number two, it kept me my nose clean. I was not getting in trouble because I was too busy working out or, you know, staying in good shape so that I could keep my edge on people. So I think
something to lose.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, I think that another thing I'm hearing from you, Josh, is it's extremely important for people to listen to people, hear their message, know what's going on with them, and don't judge people. Like, everybody has issues. We all have them. It's just sometimes they come out in different ways, right?
Absolutely, and I see that all the time. You got to see, the kids that we see are great kids. People sometimes, what they do, they'll make a judgment. Well, a kid on drugs is a, you know, he's a bad kid, or so. That's not even close to true. And I do think that we got to kind of look at and try to take other people's perspective of what they're going through and how they got into the situations that they're in, and then try to help and support them.
I think that's extremely well said. And
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. And I love that you put it in that light, because I think a lot of the kids that end up doing Pathway think that way.
Yeah.
I think that it's because of them. And I'm glad that there is a program that is quite the opposite.
Well, and I think that, you know, in your name, Pathway, there's a message right there. And I think, you know, if you listen to the message, if you want to change, if you want to be a better person, because quite frankly, I think that you are a better person if you keep your nose clean and you care about other people. And I think that that's something that gets lost in this whole this discussion about drugs, alcohol, abuse, all this stuff, is that you're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting all those people around you, and you may be even hurting those people worse than yourself at some points, right, Josh?
It's true, absolutely. It affects anybody you love and is close to you. Usually the first thing to go with substance use is the quality of your interpersonal relationships, particularly with your nuclear family, you know, because they're worried. It creates dishonesty. It creates things that hurt relationships.
And
the opposite end of that is true, too. What you just said is, you know, one of the critical factors to recovery for most people when they stop using, they get in recovery, they find things they're passionate about, is also to help other people and to improve other people's lives. And people who stick in recovery long term and don't go back to using, usually they find some way to contribute to society in something they're passionate about, whether they get into a helping profession or they volunteer at a nonprofit or they coach Little League. They find some way to give back and make the world a better place.
That was extremely well said. And I can think of several examples of what you just said from a few different friends of mine that have been in extremely low places, and they have come back, they have rebounded. And like you just said, they are people in the community doing really, really good things now. Speakers, people going out, helping other people that have drug and alcohol issues. Yeah. So That point that you just made, I think, is extremely important for people to realize that even though you've chosen bad choices and you went down a bad path, there's time for you to change, and there's time for you to heal other people through your faults and your things that you went through. I think that was an extremely important thing that you said, Josh.
It should build empathy, right?
Yeah.
It should be your ability to take somebody else's perspective should be greater if you've been in pain. Right, and you go, well, now I can understand that other people are at times too, and I want to help.
So well said, Josh. Look, I honestly, I could talk to you about this all day long. I'm not even kidding. Like, I could seriously talk to you about this, and I think that we could make the world a better place, and all people need to do is accept our want and our desire to help them, and that's exactly what you're doing right now, man.
Thank you. That's
Josh,
what I hope to do.
Yeah, hey, you know what? And you got to keep your mind clear somehow, some way in these tough times, right?
Yep.
Josh, appreciate your time greatly today. Have a wonderful day. We'll catch up again with you for sure.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.